By my count, there are 19 more regular class days before we have Christmas break after today. Does that make you happy? Is that something to which you're looking forward? And of course, we have Thanksgiving break in between. Now, what if I were to change my previous statement slightly and say that there are 19 more days until you get to have a root canal on your teeth? Does that make you happy? Is that something to which you're looking forward? It might make you relieved in some ways, I suppose, if you were in pain and really needed it done, but I'm doubting that too many of us would look forward more to having a root canal than we would to have a nice break from school. So what if I told you, what would you say if I told you that very soon there are going to be wars and earthquakes and famines, or that you're going to be persecuted and hated even by your own family members, or that the very skies are going to be ripped apart and people are going to be fainting with fear, dropping like flies at the sight of all of these terrible things? Are those things to which you would look forward? These are some of the things that Jesus lists just before our text for today. Things that were going to happen. Things that he wanted his listeners to be on the lookout for. He speaks these words in Luke chapter 21. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This, then, is something to which we can and should look forward. Look forward, that is, to the coming of the Son of Man. This is an event that is definitely going to be hard to miss. In fact, no one is going to miss it. In Revelation 1:7, John, in describing Jesus coming back at the end of the world, says that every eye will see him when Jesus comes with the clouds. So it is going to be an unmistakable event. And him talking about Jesus coming with the clouds is reminiscent of how the angels told the apostles, when they had watched Jesus ascend into heaven, that he was going to come back. They said, "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Jesus left in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. And that Jesus is coming back in a cloud is an unmistakable way of saying that he's coming back in power, in almighty power. In the Old Testament, there are numerous references to God or the Son of God appearing in or coming in the clouds. One time even talking about him coming in a cloud as on a chariot. If people on this earth have ever been confused about who Jesus is, thinking perhaps that he's just a man or even a special man or maybe even a prophet, there's going to be no mistaking who he is when he returns, coming in the clouds. But what will your reaction be when you see Jesus coming in a cloud with great power and great glory? Pretend for just a moment that you're a young child, maybe 5 or 6 years old. You're playing in the dining room next to the kitchen where your mother is baking chocolate chip cookies. And you smell those cookies baking, and it's so tempting, it's almost making your mouth water. But your mom assures you that, yes, you can have some cookies when they're done, when they're cooled off, and when she tells you that it's okay. Well, after a little bit, the cookies are done. They're sitting there cooling on a plate, and your mom has gone down to the basement to do something else. And those cookies look so good and smell so good. You decide you're going to take a couple now. And so you go and take a couple of cookies and head for your room, and you even go into your closet. You're so scared of being caught. And after you wolf down those warm cookies, you realize that your hands are covered with chocolate. And there's really not much you can do to get rid of all of that. You realize you're going to have to wash your hands And so you come out of the closet and you start to go out, but then you realize your mom is back in the kitchen. And to get to the bathroom to wash your hands, you'd have to go past there, and then she would know. She would know that you had taken those cookies, and so you decide to wait. You go back in the closet and shut the door and decide you're going to wait for your chance. And after what seems like hours, you hear your mom calling. She's calling to you, and she's coming toward your room. And with every step that brings her closer, your heart is racing faster and faster. And then she's in your room, and she's calling and looking, calling and looking. And then the closet door starts to open slowly. When Jesus comes back at the end of the world, are you going to be that scared little kid in the closet, knowing that you deserve from God whatever punishment he deems is correct? We know that if we have to rely on our own record, if we have to rely on how well we've obeyed God's rules, we're sunk. We know how much we sin. We've done much more than just taking cookies without permission. You know that you're guilty of ignoring the signs of the end because you just don't want to pay attention to them. You know that you don't want to see them because it's easier to pretend you're not going to be held accountable to anyone for how you live your life. You'd much rather live your life in the way that makes you happy or that makes you feel good. But when we're confronted with the reality that we are going to be held accountable for what we've done in our lives, what will our reaction be? Maybe we should just man up and take it. After all, Jesus said, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. Isn't that what Jesus means, to suck it up and to brace ourselves for punishment? Well, Jesus is not telling us to do that here. He tells us why we're to straighten up and raise our heads. He says our redemption is drawing near. As Christians, we know we can look forward to, and we should look forward to, the return of the Son of Man, the return of our Savior, with joy, not with fear. We're going to straighten up and raise up our heads because you're looking forward to something with eager anticipation, not fearing punishment. Your Savior Jesus, who accomplished your redemption, who has taken away all of your sins by his perfect life, by his bloody death on the cross, by his powerful resurrection showing his victory over death, your Savior has made you one of his own. And he's coming back not to punish you. He's already taken the punishment that you deserve. He's coming back to take you home. Now, while you're here on this earth, there are still bad things that happen to you. There are many trials and temptations and tribulations that you have to go through every day. But that doesn't change who you are. You are a redeemed child of God. When Jesus comes back in a cloud with great power and glory, he's coming back to bring your final redemption, to bring your final rescue from this world of sorrow, to bring you to your true home of heaven. So I suppose there are some parallels between looking forward to a root canal and looking forward to the end of the world, looking forward to the return of our Savior. We know there's going to be some pain and discomfort along the way, and yet in the long run, it is definitely more than worth it. Regarding this life, St. Paul says in Romans 8, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The end result definitely makes it worth going through whatever this life has in store for us. Continue to look forward to the coming of the Son of Man with joy, because his coming will bring you eternal joy. Amen.